Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, welcome to Cowboy Church. I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
We are so glad that you're here with us today. And you know what? I've just been so excited about the shows that we've been having.
Well, me too. And the reason is because I feel like that as the older we get, the closer to God we get, maybe there's a chance for Him to work a little stronger at the end there.
Do you think it's because we're moving a little slower and thinking a little slower that He can, you know?
We
have time for Him.
Well, that's part
or
of
we'll
it.
We'll take time for Him. Yeah, we've always had time for Him.
True.
But we had so much stuff going on.
Yeah, that's true. I kind of view it more like I ran a quarter of a mile in high school. Mm-hmm. It was a 400 meters now, but yeah, we call it the 440 because they did it in yards. And I was just having struggle. I had a guy tell me one time, he says, what you do is you start out really fast for the 110 yards, go really fast. And then he says, relax for the next 20 yards.
Yeah.
And he said, the last 110, just accelerate slowly into it and just relax and give it all you got at the end, you know?
Right.
And so I just turned 70 years old. And so I feel like I'm just going down that stretch and I'm trying to relax and give it everything. And some of the mornings I wake up, I feel like about like I felt like in that last half of that last 100 yards. But there's no air in the building. My legs aren't working. I don't even want to get out of bed.
Well, hopefully you won't feel like that when your Cowboy Church episode is over. We want to thank you for tuning in. Please don't turn the channel. You're in for a wonderful experience. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Oh, there's wonderful power in the blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin?
There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Would you for evil a victory win?
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
You'll be free from your passion and pride.
There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow?
With power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sin stains are washed in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you give service for Jesus your King?
There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
And would you daily pray this to sing?
There's wonderful power.
Touch with God. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
in touch with God, God turn your radio on.
Ask me how I know that Jesus saved my soul. I tell you it's plain to see, because he changed me. It's a change that only he can make. Believe me, I've tried. No matter what you've been through, that's why he was crucified. Where I am today, he washed me clean with his love, and with me he will stay.
Y'all remember the day you got saved? Just remember how it was, how you felt.
So you ask me how I know that Jesus saved my soul. I tell you it's plain to see, because he changed me. It's a change that only he can make. Believe me, I've tried, and I've tried. No matter what you've been through, that's why he was crucified. Jesus saved my soul. I tell you it's plain to see, because he changed me. Changed me.
sometimes, friends, we need to take hold of our old carnal nature and choke that out of our life. We need to depart. The Bible says, don't even begin to make a place for sin in your life. If you are aimed at the right direction, and that's what repentance is aiming at the right direction, at the straight and narrow path, and you happen to slip and fall, God's grace is sufficient. So what do we do when we die daily? When we come to the altar, when we realize that we failed, when we ask God to forgive us, when we fall on our face before God and say, God, forgive me, I've sinned. God's grace is sufficient. So here's some of the things that begin to happen when we go to the altar and death begins to happen to our old carnal nature. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, and I'm sure you can, quote this, most of you, is that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, the first thing we have to do is understand what things are. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things. Things are this. Anything that is or may become an object of thought. Anything that is or may become an object of thought is a thing. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he gives us this, all these things. What kind of things? Well, godly things. It won't be sinful things. It'll be godly things. All these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, righteousness realigns our priorities. It realigns our perspective. It realigns the way we look at life. And when it's completely realigned, when it's realigned with God, an interesting thing happens. The battle between the old carnal nature and our new man, the new man begins to win. And when the new man begins to win, what happens is he begins to take charge. And now all of a sudden, all of these things are not all the things that the carnal man brings in. All of these things are the thoughts and desires of what the new man brings in. Through the power of God, and our thinking is completely realigned, and we begin to be responsive to God. We get this a little bit with Elijah, the great prophet who called fire down out of heaven. We all view him as this mighty man of God who had a voice like all pastors wish we had. And he's the kind of guy who would stand up. He could do, he was an amazing man, and I don't know for sure, but there was a little part of a few phrase in the middle of a sentence that when Elijah prayed this short prayer to call fire down out of heaven, he said, as you commanded me. And that caught me. As you commanded me. What Elijah is saying to God is, this is my interpretation, so it's not necessarily the truth, but it's my way of looking at it. If I was Elijah and God says, do all this stuff, and then I'm supposed to pray that God calls fire down out of heaven, it would be in obedience to God, because I don't have the kind of personality to say, put more water on it, do this, the trash talk and all of that kind of stuff. I don't have that kind of confidence. And I'm not sure Elijah did either, but Elijah heard from God. And when I hear from God and I know that this is exactly what God has in mind, Elijah's praying and he says, as you commanded me to pray. And when he said that, he tapped into God and God sent fire to consume the sacrifices, and the things that happened because of that were miraculous. And what that is that new man, in obedience to God, begins to become everything that God intended for us to become. If we're loud and obnoxious and we need rasp off, you know, like the horseshoeing. Sometimes we need our attitude and our hearts rasp off a little bit, and we just shave that off and clean it up and soften it so it smooths out. Sometimes we need that because our carnal nature is a little brash. Sometimes we're so intimidated that we can't stand up for what's right, and God needs to give us a little boost. That's all these things to be added. Whatever you need to be the person that God calls you to do, those are the things that God brings to us. And the thing is this. If I wanted to be a world's champion, and I did for years. I realize I'm a little old for that now. But if I wanted to be a world's champion, and I was working for that and working for it and working for it, and God spoke to my heart and said, that's not what I have in mind for you. What I have in mind for you is this. And I seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. And then all of a sudden, instead of that championship, this becomes important. And this works. And because this works and it fulfills, I'm living a fulfilled life, even though it doesn't look like the other life was looking or like I wanted the other life to look. God wants to bring things into our life that help us become the person that he called us to be. I want to just back up just a second. We was talking about giving up the things that we wanted to do, our old carnal nature giving up. Now, if you're starting colts, and even if you're riding horses that need a little help along the way, but these colts, when you get on them, you have what? It's called a battle of wills. It's what they want to do. It's what they feel like they should do. It's their fear that's going on. They're freaking out. They don't know what to do with you. And what you want is not for them to give up, but you want for them to give in. See, that when I pull on that rein for the first time, they don't like that. It's not a comfortable thing. So I pull on that rein and I pull on it and make it uncomfortable. I don't want them to give up and just quit. I don't want them to throw their sucker in the dirt and say, I quit. I don't know what to do. I'm not going to stand here. You don't want them to do that. You want them to give in. So when you pull and they move their head, you don't snatch their head away. What you do is when they give in, you give in. And they're rewarded because the stress is taken off. And that's what God wants from us. That's what he wants out of our carnal nature. All he wants is for us to just give in, give in, give in. And in order to do that, in order for me to give in, I have to get rid of the part that wants to go into rebellion. I don't want to go in rebellion against God. So I give in. And God, when I give in, He rewards me by taking the pressure off. It's a really simple principle. But when we go to the altar, what we do at the altar is we begin to seek God. We begin to seek God. We don't know God's will. We begin to seek God. And when we begin to seek God, God begins to work in our heart and in our life. God will give us scriptures. God will send us people that we need to listen to. God will help us to be the person we're supposed to be. So we get to this. The very last illustration in this message, it has to do with King Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel. It's in Daniel chapter 4. King Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, and he's upset with this dream. And he wants somebody to come in and interpret this dream, and it's Daniel. Daniel gets sent in. There's more to the story than this, but Daniel goes in there. Daniel hears the dream, sees the dream, and then Daniel knows what it means, and he knows that Nebuchadnezzar is not going to like it. So Nebuchadnezzar promises him, he said, hey, just tell me, I want to know what the dream means. And he says, well, God has said because of your pride that You're going to lose your mind. You're going to go insane. You're going to eat grass like a cow until you begin to understand that the Lord reigns, that God is in charge. And the words that it uses is heaven rules. Until you understand that heaven rules, you're going to have a complete mental breakdown. Nebuchadnezzar does really good until one day he's partying, not taking charge of his carnal nature. He's partying, he's doing things he shouldn't do. And instantly, his mind goes. He goes out of his mind. They have to let him out, turn him out like the wild animals. And the Bible says that he ate grass out of the field. His fingernails grew long, and he just completely lost it. Complete and total mental and emotional breakdown for a period of time. And one day, living like a wild animal, it comes to him about the dream that Daniel had interpreted for him. And he turned to God. He turned to God. He accepted God's divine control of his life. He gave in to what God is doing. And as predicted in his dream, his mind came back to him. He was completely restored to all of the kingdom because he didn't give up, but he gave in. He gave in to the Lord, gave in to God and to God's leadership in his life. And when he did, God put him back in the place that he had called Nebuchadnezzar to be, and that's king. Put him in as king, and they said that the rest of his kingdom was amazing. The rest of his time was pretty good. But that's Daniel 4:26. So here is the altar. Here's what the altar is made for. We have altars in our church right here. Right here is where people kneel and pray. This right here is where they fall on their face and submit to God and say, God, it's your life. It's you're in charge. And when they say that, what they're doing is they're dying out to our carnal nature. They're dying out to sin. They're allowing God to create in them a new heart. Some of you need to commit your life to Christ. You never have. You never don't know what it means. You say, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. I live in America. That is not what Christian means. Christian is a person who has committed his life to Christ and asked Jesus to forgive his sins and begins to submit and give in to God and God's plan and God's will and begins to grow. Being a Christian is progressive. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If you need to commit your life to God or realign your walk with God, pray this prayer. It's really easy. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me. Come into my life. I commit my life to you. And I repent of the way that I've been living. I want to live the way that you want me to live. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.